bam, and you say, God damn, this is a dope jam. I'm broad, I'm broader than Broadway. Come on, sing it with me. I'm broad, yes, I'm broad. So I'm broader than Broadway, and I'm diddling, extra diddling myself, and it feels so good. Your sauce will mix with ours, and we'll make a good goulash, baby. Oh, yeah. What time is it? It's time for Get Wood with Jess Wood, your pal Jess Wood. How do you do? How are you, everybody? Hello. Welcome. Bienvenue. Welcome. Hola. Que pasó? Bonjour, motherfuckers! Hello, lovers. Hi. First of all, shall we discuss the whole outfit? Thank you so much. The fit, as the kids would say. And the kids, we're going to do what the kids like to do. Okay, first we're going to go with the hat. Okay, the hat, so sadly, red baseball hats have been really worn by the wrong types of people. So we're going to bring back the red baseball cap. And I want to thank my girl, Shawna. She's a listener. She's a watcher. She's a friend. She's an amazing lady. Crafter. Come on. Baker. Yeah. Anyhow, she sent me this hat. It's from Der Wiener Schnitzel. And it has the sentiment, I love wieners. And it's funny because it's true. Then we'll come down to the heart-shaped glasses. Unlike the heart-shaped box, it's on my face. I love these heart-shaped glasses. And let me tell you something, they've never gone out of style to me, even though I think the first time we ever did see them was maybe in the 70s or 80s. Is that correct? Wonka, wonka, wonka. All right, let's go down to the earrings, shall we? Got the cherry earrings on, shaped like hearts, the cherries. And let's talk about these cherry earrings. They're from the Epstein Island collection. Yeah, I've said that to a couple of different gals when I'm working. Hello. Hello, lovers. There I am. Here I am. Hi. Hi, you gorgeous things, you. I really did, because a lot of the gals, when I wear these to work, the cherry earrings, where I wear them at work, a lot of the girls are like, oh my God, I love your cherries. I love your cherry earrings. I love your cherries. And I go, yeah, they're from the Epstein Island collection. And let me tell you, a couple of people were like, really? Is that, oh my God, who carries that? Like Claire's? Like they fully believed me. And then another group of gals just laughed and laughed because they knew it was a joke. It was a joke. It's a very, very dark joke, but it is a joke. It is a joke nonetheless. Also here I have an anchor holding it down from the babes at the Babel studio. So if you haven't followed them, please do so now. Meow. Anyways, hi. Welcome to a special VD Get Wood. Mm-hmm. My mom absolutely hated this. Jesse, it's another fucking Hallmark holiday. I don't know why everyone has so much pressure on themselves to do so much about fucking love. Like, okay, Ma, why do you hate love so much? It's not that I hate love, Jesse. Don't be mean to your mother. She loved to tell me that. It's just that I think that Hallmark shouldn't tell us when we should be loving towards each other. We should be loving towards each other all the time. And I, you know what? She was fucking right. You know what's crazy? The hippies were right about a lot of stuff. And I hate to say that. I hate to admit how much the hippies were correct. I mean, they were right about us poisoning the earth, us poisoning the water, the sky, the whole thing. Yum, yum. They were right about us not probably needing so much meat in our diet or Western medicine. What kind of show is this? Anyway, hi, welcome to Get Wood, your place for stories and silliness. How do you do? This week, I had a big request to, shout out to Cece for the big request to talk about how I got a sober. You don't put A in front of sober, but I feel like sobriety and love and what I said to her was, well, is it really full sobriety if I take a lot of psychedelics? And she said, I don't think psychedelics is making you not sober. I think psychedelics is making you have a broader understanding of the world and of each other and how much we are one. So, hey, shout out to Cece on that. Thank you. And for those others who feel the same way, because we are. I mean, every time, oh, I'll tell you, I did some mushrooms this weekend. Anyway, the thing about my getting sober, it was from heroin. And I know it's Valentine's Day, so I'm going to tell a love story about me and heroin, okay? Okay. So first I'll tell you that I used to wear earrings, not like these, but big, what they call dolphin or door knocker earrings, bamboo, if you will. And they said love inside of the earrings in cursive. So none of the kids actually could read them nowadays, right? So they said love inside of them. And I wore these earrings all the time, religiously. I know I shouted you out just now. Did you not hear me, Shauna? I shouted you out. Big love to my girl for the hat. I get so excited and thrilled. So anyway, I used to go and get heroin for myself and for others who were scared to go to the Lower East Side in the 90s, when it was kind of, you know, the buildings were a little burned out and there were some dark stuff going on over there. It was dangerous, you guys, it was dangerous. But I was there because I'm from danger. So, hi, welcome to Get Wood. My name's Jess Wood and I'm from danger. Good to meet you. So, when you're from danger, you know this, if you're from danger, you go right into danger and you're like, whatever, danger, I'm familiar with you. So I was called, hey, love, by the dealers. So I, not only did I love the heroin itself, which I was turned on to by, speaking of love, a boy that I met through a friend of mine. She knew he was Bad News Bears, but she introduced us anyway, because as you know, if you've been listening or watching or knowing me, oh, I did enjoy a criminality of a type. Yeah, I have had a type that may be a tad bit criminal, tad bit on the edge of, on the fringe, we'll say, of society's norm. Okay, so anyway, she knew that I would probably fall for this guy. He knew that I would probably fall for heroin. So he set me up with my first little bump of it. And whew, it was really too good to be true. So cut to, I'm dating him. He's not a good person to be dating because, and I told you this before, he was a stick-up kid. And a stick-up kid is when you go around and stick people up, yeah, with a gun. I know. You just go around. That's how New York used to be. It was like, yeah, you know what I mean? Just stick them up, like the olden days, like, ah! And so, yeah, it was, he was doing that. And I should have known he was bad because the place where I worked at the retail shop, which was also a job that I was trying to hold down while I was doing the heroin a lot, which was bad because they were so nice to me, but they were like, Jessica, you cannot continue working here if you are nodding out in the jeans. You know what I mean? So it wasn't really, and the boyfriend wasn't allowed in the shop. And I told you this before, but it's just, since this is a Valentine's Day special and a thing about love, I'd say I loved the heroine way more than I loved the guy. Even though I went to visit the guy in prison, you remember my aunt drove me up there on Christmas. It's Christmas, what do I care? We're Jewish. That's what she said to me. Anyway, I loved this heroine so much. And I loved it so much that I really lost everything for it, which is so sad. But you do hear about that and you read about that and you see it in the movies. And I'll tell you, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again, William Burroughs is the only person that I've ever seen or known about that could really handle the heroin for a long time. Usually, you'll lose it all. Anyway, I'm lucky I didn't lose my life. Lucky I didn't lose any of my toofuses. And I But there I was having, I lost a job. I lost the job at the retail shop. They were like, you can't be here nodding out and your boyfriend, the Mr. Thiefo, Mr. Stick-Up Kid outside waiting on you and maybe waiting on us to rob us as well. So we can't have you around here, Shady McGee. And I was like, no, but I love it here. Scratch, scratch, itch, itch, heroin, heroin. And so the heroin, so apparently I loved the heroin more than I loved everything else. And so then I lost my, so there was the job lost. There were some friends lost. There was the apartment was lost. All the things were lost. So I was very much on the downward spiral. And my boyfriend at the time, the stick-up kid, got locked up for sticking people up. So finally he got caught and then he was caught and then I didn't have any money. And the only way I was getting heroin was I was getting heroin for other people. And then it was just exhausting. You know, I was just exhausted and not having anywhere to live and not having a job. And so I had to find a job. And so I found a job at the comic strip, and this guy called Rick Shapiro, who's another comedian person, saw me. And he just started like fucking with me in terms of, you know, like back and forth with the joking. And he would do characters to me and I would do characters back to him because of the characters that I knew were the cholos from when I was a kid. And so I'd be like, yeah, shut up, dummy. Shut up, fool. You're fucking stupid, eh? And like, he'd be like, oh, who are you? Where are you? What did you come from? And I'm like, I'm a heroin addict. You know? I'm trying to be a waitress at the comic strip. And he was like, no, you need to be in my show. And he ended up putting me in his one-man show, which, let's take a step back. I told him, I go, I'm not that fucked up. A one-man show means one man. Why are you asking me to be in the show? And that's when you know somebody wants to fuck. And, but anyway, God bless, you know. But he was like, no, you're going to be the voices of all the women in my head. I have a lot of voices that go in my head. This is a healthy place for me to put myself. But let me tell you something. I'm from danger. If you've just tuned in, I'm Jess Wood and I'm from danger. So I'm very used to danger and so it's familiar to me. But I'm also from funny. So like funny, being funny in the face of danger is really, I think a lot of us have that survival skill. We can connect on that, I think, some of us here. So anyway, he puts me in his show and he tells me, listen, you got to cut out the fucking heroin because he's a sober person, like sober, like go to meetings sober. And he starts to take me to meetings. He's like, you got to come to the meetings with me. And so I go to the meetings and like, fuck yeah, they kind of worked for me. You know, you hear a bunch of other motherfuckers in the room talking about how they have the same kind of shit that you do. They come from the same kind of shit, maybe some worse shit you can't even imagine. Oh my God. So then you start to feel like, well, who the fuck am I to be like, oh, my life has been so sad. Not that we don't have legit like sad shit happen to us in our lives, but it's a count of like, how often do I want to numb myself out to those facts, or how much do I not want to like live my life to the fullest just because I feel like I'm dragging all these old stories around with me, you know? Hey, is Get Wood kind of deep sometimes? Yeah, sometimes. Anyway, so I am going to the meetings. I'm getting sobered up. But the one thing that really fucking nails my sobriety is the fact that he makes me write a joke for one of the sketches that he has in his one-man show. He makes me write a joke. And I write this joke. And I come out to do the joke on the first night where there's all the people and everything. And like, listen, excuse me, I've been fucking sick. That's why you didn't see me yesterday. I went out and did this joke. And it felt, when the people laughed, because let me tell you, they laughed. It was better than dope. It was better than my fucking dope habit, was all of a sudden having people, having the laughter back, having the relating, because they related to it. You know what I mean? So it was like, yeah, I felt the connection, the ooh, the earthquake in Astoria. So I just, it was fantastic. And Cece wanted to hear how I got sober. Well, that was huge for me. And I've heard of people, listen, I feel like I did it wrong. Like usually people do stand-up comedy and then they get a heroin problem, you know, and then they die of an overdose. Well, thank God I had it backwards and I got the heroin addiction and then I did the comedy. Ah, saved me from the heroin. Yeah, that's right. You want to talk about love today? Love in the Afternoon on Ryan's Hope. If you're old, you get that. Anyway, happy Lunar New Year. Lunar New Year. It really does remind you of rural juror. The rural juror. I celebrate Lunar New Year every year that I can. And if you have been with me since Albuquerque, New Mexico, you will know the sad fucking state of affairs. And I hope it's changing soon. But who knows? I'm not in charge of the Chinese consulate. There's no Chinatown in New Mexico. In all of New Mexico. And I'm not just talking about like, oh, I was in Albuquerque. Oh, I was near Santa Fe. No, all of fucking New Mexico. What? I have to go to Arizona to celebrate Chinese New Year? What in the fuck is going on here? So when I was living out there, that was what was up, yo. And I was like, how the fuck is that? How's that be? And it be. It be. So happy year of the wooden dragon. And, you know, I'm wood. I'm not a dragon, but I thought I'd wear all the things, you know. You wear red. Red is supposed to be a very powerful color. It's a good luck to the lot of the folks, a lot of the cultures. And I went out with my friend Alexis, and we went to the dragon and lion dances and stuff down in Chinatown. And we did eat some mushrooms. And I'll tell you what, I don't think the mushrooms are what I should be doing so much anymore. I need to go back to acid. Listen, hear me out. Because a lot of people are like, oh my God, Jessica, mushrooms is the only thing I can handle. Like mushrooms is relaxed. Mushrooms is natural. Mushrooms. No, hear me out. Mushrooms, all that. Yeah, sure. I guess. Yeah, sure. You can grow them, all that good stuff. But they're inside. You know what I mean? And if you're not watching right now, I'm rubbing my belly. They're inside and they're in your heart and your soul and your innards. And I feel like you really like a fetal position, a blankie, a warm spot. That's mushrooms. Like my best time on mushrooms is just like curled up and kind of just feeling all my ancestors and maybe my friends that have passed on surrounding me in that warm light. But being at a festival where there are a lot of people around and it's a little crowded and there's some drums that are going and like your stomach really feels it all and like the inside, and then you see all the people in the traditional garb and the beautiful, amazing, and you think of how ancient these cultures are and how long they've been around and how you haven't really, but your people, I mean the Jews, yeah, the 5,000 years, but still, like Asian folks, like wow, that's real, like Asia and Africa, and like just start to think about all the things. And then I got kind of heavy and I started to think like on the heavier side of stuff because I lived in California and I remember the internment camps that they have in fucking California. It wasn't that long ago, locking these poor beautiful people up. And so I really went through the whole gamut. And not to say that if I was on LSD that I wouldn't be thinking so deeply about the whole situation and the culture and the history in America and the whole, you know, in our past like few years and just the amount of hate crime. Like I was like, oh God, like I started to have just some really heavy thoughts on it. And I was like, if I was on acid, I would just be like, ooh, look at all the sparkly confetti everywhere. I love wieners. So the last day of the dog for, okay, let me back it up for a second and say thank you so much to everyone who reached out to me regarding the dog sitting job that I had and regarding the dog sitting stories that I told you about what was happening to me while I was there. And if you can imagine, it got weirder. It got fucking weirder. Can you guys imagine that it could even get weirder? Like, how is it that? There were people there when I wasn't there. There were people there when I was there. Okay, so I go out. It was the last day I was there, the last day to walk the dog. And I take it out in the morning and we're out for like a good, nice hour, you know. And again, nobody's warm. It's fucking hot. It's making me so sad because like, you know, usually you go out like, if I took this dog out, it was a little dog, you know, this little, you know, a lot of people love a little dog, a little cutie magoo with the fucking face, right? And the little kick, 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 and it's all little, right? So, and it's got a little hoodie on. I mean, it's a cute fucking dog. But in that neighborhood that it lived in, boy, were the people were chilly cold. Woo! Orthodox Hasidic Jews. And like, and they just like walk by quickly from the dog. Like, oh my goodness. Like, even I knew if I had the dog in my neighborhood here in Coney Island, Brighton Beach, oh my God, even the most grouchiest Russian neighbor of mine, which is also my people, you know, being Russian, Ukrainian Jew in Polish, also maybe some Irish, we don't know, father, it's the whole thing. Anyway, I know if I had that dog over here in this neighborhood, oh my God, the Russian people, oh, this is not scared, the dog, the poopy, it's his name, what's his name? You know what I mean? Like, they would be so sweet, and because they actually soften from the little dog. Oh, look at this guy, he's just walking. You know what I mean? Like, they get a kick out of it, whereas over on Avenue J, let me tell you, it was like pulling teeth to get a smile out of the neighbors. But anyway, that wasn't the drama for me. What was the drama for me? You asked Jessica, what's the matter? You just took the dog for a walk. So what? People don't talk to you on your walk. Just fucking take the dog out. It's your goddamn job. Right. So then I take the dog back to the house, unlock the door, because I lock it. You know, I know how to lock the door where I work for the week. I walk in. There's a man in the kitchen. And not only is there a man, I don't know this man. Who knows? I don't know this man. It's this Jewish man, older Jewish man, long gray beard, in the kitchen, tall, big guy. I'm like, what in the fuck? I go, excuse me, hi, hello? Like, what would you do? I mean, I'm just like, what the fuck? What the fuck? And he's making coffee. It's not even just like he's there. Like, I should be scared. Like, oh, don't be scared. I'm just, I'm dropping some packages off. Like, no. He's got like a coffee steaming in the side. I'm like, what in the fuck is going on? Who is this man? And I said, sir, what's going on? Should I call the police? Like, who are you? What is happening? And he goes, no, don't worry about it. I dropped off some pastries for the girls for when they get home later. And I'm like, well, you can't be here right now. Did you know I was staying here? Like, I'm staying here. This is where I'm staying for the week. Have you been in here before when I've been in here? Like, yipes. Talk about horror. Nightmare on Avenue J Street. How do you do? I was so terrified. And so then the fucking lady was late coming home, and the dog, let me tell you, I'm not even lying to you when I tell you that I kept telling the dog that their parents were gonna, I'm like, your mom's gonna be home, your mom's coming home. And every time I told that dog that the mom was coming home, got like sad, you could tell, got kind of sad. Oh, really? They're coming back? Like, it was for real. You know, you can tap in, you can feel that energy, you know what I'm talking about. So anyway, so then the lady calls because she's late. They're late getting back for the dog. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't want to fucking sit here and wait for the fucking lady, but I want my money because I've been there the whole week. And it was the same week I didn't have a debit card that worked and my benefits had been on hold, right? So I'm like, strapped for cash. Okay, get this. The lady fucking calls me, right? And she's like, oh, hey, Jessica, we're going to be a little late. So if you want to leave, you can. And I go, well, I kind of wanted to wait for you to get home because I wanted to get the money. And she says, the cleaning lady didn't tell you where the money is? I said, what? She said, the cleaning lady didn't let you know that there was an envelope for you in the kitchen this whole time. What? The cleaning lady doesn't speak a word of English and I don't speak Spanish. What the fuck is going on? You mean there was a fucking envelope full of cash in this kitchen the whole week I was here with no cash? Then there was a man. I go, well, an old man came in. There was a man in your kitchen when I came in this morning from the walk. And she goes, oh, and she doesn't sound upset at all. And I go, there was a man in the kitchen. I don't know if I should have called the police or what. And she goes, oh, him? Was he like an old looking man with a long gray beard and tall and Jewish? And I go, yeah, yes. And she goes, oh, that's my ex. He's very strange. That's why we're getting divorced. Okay, so you didn't want to tell me that the strange, very strange, quote, man is coming, has the code to get into the houses and may show up at some point when you're there, when you're not there. What in the fuck is do you know what is going, how come I didn't get, and she goes, oh, I'm real sorry I didn't tell you about that. No, me too. It's taken me a week. It was a week ago Wednesday, and today you're seeing me. I didn't stop moving. So on Saturday I was having some major Lunar New Year celebrations, and then on Sunday I worked, and it was Super Bowl Sunday, so there really weren't that many people at my job, but I had to make a bunch of to-go margaritas. It's not a huge deal, but it's like you just, anyway, so then I know it's riveting fucking news that I'm telling you, but anyway, that it's just saying that I've been doing a lot of things, and I was supposed to go to Philly yesterday, and I didn't go. There was a huge snowstorm, and then I didn't feel good, and I still really don't feel great, but I just had to get up and tell you guys, it's taken me like a week to decompress from that fucking job. There was money, there was cash in the kitchen shelf the whole time. And then so what's the moral of the story? I don't know. There is none. It's just a story. And I could kick, and I'll kick the tripod again, because it's lunacy is what it is. It's absolute fucking lunacy. And you know what else is lunacy? When I'm on the subway and there are two young white girls in their 20s, and they're going around to everybody like, hi, how are you? Hi. First of all, that's suspicious. I don't know what the fuck they want. Well, if you said, of course, Jessica, they want you to come to Jesus, you are correct. You are correct. They are now on the subway. Like, I don't think I've ever seen anyone do this before, but goddamn, who's the marketing genius that decided to put two 20-year-old young girls on the fucking white girls? Hi, how are you? Hi, would you like to come to church with us? Hi, how are you? Would you like to come to church with us? Hi, you want to come to church? Like, bitch, what? It's like the limelight. Like, do you want to come to 3-2-1? Like, do you want to come to the club? Like, we're going to the club. You guys want to come to the club? Like, what are you guys doing today? Do you guys want to come and, like, fucking pray with us? Like, full on, like, fucking pray? And listen, I'm not talking shit about prayer. You know I love to pray. You know you got to pray. You've got to pray just to make it today. What? MC Hammer? Or he might have just been going by Hammer at that point in his career. Anybody else? Mm-hmm. I know you giggled a little. You can't hold that back from me. Anyway, Subway fucking saviors. These bitches, they're not coming. They're not just coming to your door anymore. They're on the fucking subway. I gotta look at my notes. I don't know. Cocaine. Oh, what happened with cocaine? Oh my God. Something must have happened. Oh, you know what had happened was? Oh Lord. All right, I have a few more minutes, and I'm just going to tell you this right now. I could see how children hurt themselves on this fucking device here, this online, on the socials. I got so bullied. I'm going to use that word. I'm going to use the fucking word. I'm a grown lady, and yet bullied like a little baby girl on the goddamn, on the socials. So what had happened was, okay, so, you know, we all want to try these little tricks of the trade in terms of getting the algorithm to love you better and be like, hey, show more people my stuff, or hey, algorithm, what's up? And people always ask me, oh, what do you get on your algorithm, Jess? What do you get, like a bunch of trucker hat ads and cherry jewelry from the Epstein Island collection? No, you know what I get? If you have been abused in these jails, like, hey, why do I get all the prison commercials? Anyway, so we want to trick the algorithm into giving us more love, right? And showing us to more people. And so you go, hey, algorithm, what's up? So somewhere along the line, someone had told me, listen, if you go and comment on like a fun video or a funny picture or even something just rando, you go and comment something fun or funny, you could usually get a bunch of people who like that comment, and then they go to your page and maybe they follow you because they're like, oh, this lady's funny, I'm gonna follow this lady. Okay, so that's the plan, right? But then you execute said plan. And I've been doing this for a while, and it seems to be fine. It seemed to be okay before. Everything seemed to be fine. I never got in any real trouble with the bullies. But wow, this time, they came for me, and I was like, wow. And then I saw, oh, this is how people, when they wrote stuff like, when trying to be funny goes wrong, like, like your worst nightmare, like a comedian's work, you know what I mean? And like a lady, like you're aging like milk, you know what I mean? Like shit like that, like, oh, ow, ooh, boof, shash, ping, pow, you know, right in the heart, right in the guts, right in the old wrinkly lips. Ouch. God damn. So, you know, I had to delete the comment. And it wasn't even, listen, okay, I'll tell you what it was. And you can write to me and you can tell me what you, just please don't yell at me or call me names. But here's what I had said was there were videos and it was all these videos from people, bands and performers that like danced really hard in the 80s and 90s. And it said, performers from the 80s and 90s went home tired. And then I commented, also, cocaine is a hell of a drug. Because I thought, psh, 80s and 90s, dancing, music, cocaine. Just a thing. Just a fact. Nothing other than just something that I thought was factual and kind of just silly, funny. Ha ha. Throw it out there. Well, whew, your auntie, she got came on me all over. They came all over me. Let me tell you something. It was a mess. What a mess. Now, here's, I'll give you the good news. There were 200 likes, 200 likes, which I think that's pretty good, right? That's pretty nice for your Auntie Jess. But then the folks who came at me, wow, woo, oh, what were a couple of people said that, cocaine? Oh, you mean the drug that your people dropped into our neighborhoods? Oh God. And that's a deep fucking cut. And listen, I'm a Jew. I could plead Jewish and say, no. Plus I'm not part of the CIA or the agencies that did, but I get it. White people sucked throughout the ages. And listen, I don't, if you've ever listened to my show or watched any of my shit, I'm a fucking ally. I don't even like white people. So, you know, it's, it gets tricky out there. So I went on for days. And what happens when you have a comment being commented on, if you don't know, I'm going to tell you, it shows up every single day when you go onto your social and it's like, ah, this person said to get wood, get my balls out of your mouth or whatever. I would have actually liked that one. That would have been a funny one. I would have laughed. But you know, of course I'm liking all of them. Like I'm fine. I have a big heart and I understand humor and I don't even care. I have thick skin and I'm like liking a bunch of them. And then I was like, after, I don't know, maybe 5 days of it where you have, it's always there coming at you. I don't even have notifications on for it. It just shows up. So I was like, oh, I asked my friend and she goes, yeah, you have to delete the fucking comment, the original comment. And that way you won't keep getting all the hate. Lord have mercy. But then I was like, you know what? Cat Williams said, let the haters hate. It's what they do. Haters hate. Let them hate. It's what they do. And at least you're getting noticed. But I think it was a lot of bots. I don't even think that was real shit. Because I know that the bots out there are set to get triggered when there's some fucking negativity going on. And they're like, bam, there's negativity. Get on it and fucking put some fire, fucking gasoline on that fire. Put some gasoline on that fire. Yeah. And I don't want to grow my engagement by getting all kinds of hate. Yo, you know what I mean? It just, like my friend Shannon said, it's like an oxymoron. It doesn't even make any sense. It's like, why would the fuck? Okay, so, oh, I'm here to like get people to feel better and have fun. And what a fun show, Get Wood. I try to make Get Wood fun and kind of deepish and tell you some vulnerable shit so maybe you don't feel alone and maybe we could be here together and not be scared of what's going on out there and try to help each other and be communal and a community that in loving and open and, you know, clear with our words and all that shit. And then I'm going to go on to these fucking social media platforms and be an asshole. No, if I want to talk like them, that is not on brand for me. Okay. And they won't even boost my fucking posts because I'm Get Wood. Are you kidding me? They won't even boost my post. I can't boost a post on here, on Facebook, on nothing because they're like, oh, Get Wood is against community guidelines and standards. Really? Because you have murders on here that people can watch people be murdered. Anyway. Well, I guess I've gone over in my little rant, but you know what? I had fun. I hope you had fun. And I hope that this was just so much of a good time. 35 minutes of you and I and some red heart glasses and a red outfit and a hat from a friend and a necklace from a great company. The Babes, Babel, Shauna. I don't know who did these, but I love you guys so much. Please share the show. Hi, Ron. Share the show with your friends. I would love that. And I would love it if you tagged me when you did share the show. And if you ever want me to talk about anything, like I'd like to thank Cece for asking me to talk about the sobriety journey that I've had. And I guess I'm still kind of on, you know, not that I've ever gone back to the heroin, but I definitely do think about, I guess I'm more intentional with the using. I think that could be true. I don't know. I guess it's fun to just experiment and see what happens. You know what I mean, lovers? All right. I love you so much for listening. I love you for being here with me. Thank you for being part of my life. I don't know what I'd do without you. I'll see you next Tuesday. It'll be regular bat time, regular bat channel. I love you so much. Bye.